Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts on this Tuesday morning as we come your way on June the 25th. Glad you're with us. 356-9397 is our phone number. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. And you can email us, talk at WDWS.com. I'm only in for an hour today. We will have the On the Money program, which airs a couple of times each month from the Rudy Wealth folks. So that'll be coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Of course, after we signed off yesterday in the early afternoon, news started breaking about a verdict in the Brent Christensen trial, Yingying Zhang case. And so we wanted to talk about that here this morning and get a couple of folks on who have been pretty close to all of this. And we're going to start right away here off the top. And you've seen all the coverage in the News Gazette and online. But Attorney Steve Beckett is joining us this morning for a few minutes. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, thanks for coming on. And I know you've had a front row seat for a lot of this. No surprise, I guess, in the verdict that came down yesterday. But some of the surprise was early in the trial with the
sure.
opening statements, right?
Sure. It certainly was unusual that the defense admitted guilt in opening statements. That's something that I've been practicing law 46 years. I certainly have never seen that. But going into the trial, had to wonder what the defense strategy was going to be, because for what we knew of the evidence was overwhelming. We knew, of course, that he had made those statements on that recording, and so how in the world one would get around evidence like that, you know, that would just be incredible. And so we were prepared. We had indicated to the family that this was very likely to happen, that they would admit responsibility in opening statement, because it really is a question of life or death.
Yeah, and I guess part of the, and you would know this better than I, but part of the defense strategy really was to prepare for the next phase, right? The death penalty, life or death penalty phase, right? In the whole part of the guilty verdict?
Sure, and it led to some awkward moments where positions were being taken or questions were being asked of witnesses that really did not relate to the question of guilt or innocence, but related to Christensen's state of mind at the time that he's doing things, or the accuracy of statements that were made on recording with Karaboulos, in a way that really had nothing to do with guilt, but had to do with whether or not the government could prove aggravating factors that would make the jury decide that death was the appropriate sentence. So, it was an uncomfortable feeling, I guess I would say, you know, for me as a defense lawyer who's done this for a long time to try to understand. But, you know, I recognize the horrible situation that the defense team was put in. You know, you can't change the facts. The facts are what the facts are.
Steve Beckett is with us for a few minutes. Just want to get his expertise on the verdict handed down yesterday. Now we move to the next phase. So early July, I think July 8th is the next date, if I'm correct on that. But tell me how this works, the death penalty phase. What's different about it? What are the, you know, you've got mitigating and other how does all that work?
Well, a jury procedure in a death penalty case. We used to have it in Illinois. I've done it. And so stop and think. It's a little mini trial, the issue being life or death and eligibility for the death penalty. And so the prosecutor will make an opening statement. The defendant will make an opening statement. The prosecutor will present a case in chief about aggravating factors. Typically, the jury has to decide that those factors exist. And so, for example, that the defendant in a premeditated way planned the killing, that's an aggravating factor. Or that the death was particularly brutal or heinous or involved torture, that would be another aggravating factor. Well, the prosecution would have to prove those aggravating factors beyond a reasonable doubt. Once that was done, assuming it was done, then other aggravation could be presented, such as the defendant's criminal history in a typical case. Now, of course, Christensen doesn't have a prior criminal history, but if there were individual acts that were indicative of wanton cruelty, they might present that in an aggravating phase. And then the defense would put on mitigating factors. No prior criminal record, good family history, great family ties, maybe a good work history, you know, that sort of thing. And then ultimately the jury would have to weigh the aggravation and the mitigation and decide whether or not the death penalty was warranted. And it's different than your typical case in that while there has to be a unanimous verdict for guilt, there does not have for the death penalty. In the typical phase, it's a unanimous verdict for guilt, but here it has to be a unanimous verdict for the death penalty, but it doesn't have to be a unanimous verdict for life in that one juror who, for whatever reason, felt that the aggravation and mitigation balance meant they did that person did not believe that the death penalty was warranted. That would pretty much be it.
Steve Beckett with us for a couple more minutes, a well-known attorney here. He's been involved in this case a little bit with the family anyway, the Yingying Zhang family. There is no death penalty in Illinois when it comes to state courts. I know it's been, I think, 15 years roughly since a federal court in death penalty. I think I'm right about that in Illinois. How does all this work if as far as at the federal level, if there's no death penalty in a state court in Illinois, I mean, where all could this go, I guess, or how would that even work?
Well, we're talking about different sovereigns, mm-hmm. You know. You've got Congress enacts federal legislation that applies throughout the United States. Illinois has its own courts and its own prosecutions, and that would be state law. Mm-hmm. And so just because there isn't a death penalty in Illinois doesn't mean that the federal government hasn't made, capital offenses. And so it just needs to be within the federal jurisdiction.
Right. So where all could that potentially happen? I mean, I know Terre Haute's been mentioned. I guess we don't know at this point, right?
The sentencing, yeah. Timothy McVeigh was executed in Terre Haute. And so I know mm-hmm. they have the facilities there. I can't imagine it would be anyplace else, mm-hmm. if in fact that's what the sentence was.
Yeah. Well, it's been a heart-rending journey, I know for sure, for the family.
Oh, this family, I tell you, if people could get to know this family the way I have, they would embrace them. They're really wonderful people. Quiet, unassuming, really solid folks, not unlike you and me and the folks that live around us. And, you know, we stop and think about what we would feel like if we lost a child under these circumstances. I think that's what, Yingying could have applied for programs anywhere around the United States. An interesting fact in the case is that Xiaolin who was her boyfriend, they went to Peking University in Beijing for their graduate program, and of their class, Xiaolin was number one, and Yingying was number two. He lost his best friend, his girlfriend, for many, many years, and they were just so close. But she picked the University of Illinois to come to, and so that's why when I was asked whether or not I would help out the family, I said absolutely, because it's the right thing to do. And I know Robin Kaler, of course, she and I have worked together on this for a long time, and I know she feels the same thing about the tragedy that I do, that it's just horrible for the family, horrible for the community, just horrible, horrible.
Yeah, well, it certainly is. So what's next for you? You come back, I guess, in July and help out there too?
Yeah, that's what I think is sort of unusual about the case is that, of course, it was projected that the trial might last a lot longer, but given the defense posture in the case, it didn't. But the judge had to decide. He could have a sentencing hearing start, and right in the middle of the hearing, you could have the 4th of July holiday. Well, that would really be an awkward situation. You wouldn't want a jury potentially deliberating before, a holiday about such an important issue. And so I think the judge, with good wisdom, decided that we'd take it up after the holiday period's over.
Yeah. Well, Steve, thanks for being with us. I really appreciate your input on this and your expertise, and we'll touch with you down the road, touch base with you.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, appreciate Steve. It. Yep, that's Steve Beckett, who just had a birthday recently, by the way. But we appreciate him coming on and involved with the family and has been working with them and helping them understand, I think, the legal system and what to expect. And just a horrendous story, but obviously we got the verdict yesterday. I don't think that was a surprise after the opening statements on the first day, and just wanted to get Steve's thoughts on what happens next. And we've got the another person coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour, Robin Kaler, who's an associate chancellor at the University of Illinois and public affairs spokesperson, who has, I think, even been also involved with Steve, but close to the Zhang family. We'll get her thoughts on all of how they're handling things and the family itself, maybe get to know them a little better. We see their pictures all the time and read about them and hear about them, but I know she's been very, very close to them over the last 2 years. So thanks to Steve Beckett. We'll continue with more of this or any other open line conversation. Lots of other things to talk about as well, but just with the big news from yesterday, wanted to make sure we touched on all of this today in the hour that we do have before the 10 o'clock hour. So back in a moment on Penny. All right, back on Penny for your thoughts. Appreciate Steve Beckett being on with us here off the top and his expertise and analysis of all that happened yesterday with the verdict and what happens next. In the Brent Christensen trial, they'll resume it after the 4th of July, 9:19 here at DWS. The summertime is here, great time for a great drive in the country over to the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The Beef House was established back in 1964. For over 50 years, people have been venturing that direction to enjoy great steaks as well as chicken, pork, pasta, and seafood. I guess we're getting close to 55 years, right? If you're looking for a smaller entree, how about a Beef House hamburger or cheeseburger? Filet or cod sandwich, maybe a breaded or grilled pork tenderloin. Philly cheesesteak sandwich, they have those too. Maybe you're just into the salad. I know when we traveled, Steve Kelly would always get the salad on our way over to the Beef House, and that's okay. They have wonderful desserts at the Beef House, ice cream and sherbet, sundaes, cheesecake. With your meal at the Beef House, you can enjoy fresh fruit, coffee, hot tea, iced tea, milk, maybe a cappuccino or soft drink. It's all there, whatever you're hungry or thirsty for, the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. So with family and friends in town for weddings or family reunions, why not pay a visit to one of the great restaurants in this part of the country, the Beef House, exit 4 off of I-74, just inside the Indiana state line in Covington, Indiana. Good to be with you on A Penny for Your Thoughts. Some open line time here for a few minutes, 9:21. Any thoughts on the Christensen verdict? You can certainly express those. If you have something else in mind, you can certainly bring that up as well. News on Iran, the president getting ready to head to the, I think it's the G20 summit overseas. So that is continuing. The federal government moving most of the children from a border patrol station outside of El Paso, Texas, after reports there of poor conditions. The new U.S. sanctions mean permanent closure of diplomacy, according to the Iranians. The new U.S. sanctions placed on Iranians' leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and his associates, and also they plan those against the foreign minister. The latest tensions coming after the shooting down of a drone in the Strait of Hormuz area. France reiterating its call for de-escalation and dialogue between the U.S. and Iran as they prepare for the Group of 20 summit coming up overseas. And getting ready in Miami for the first of the two Democratic debates. It's really one debate over two nights for the 20 candidates, the ones that are on stage anyway. There's more than that running, but they had to come up with some plan. I'm reading a book right now. Sean Spicer was the president's press secretary, and he was involved in the Republican National Committee back in the last election. back in 2012 and then 2016, and talks about how they set up those debates and who decides who gets to be on stage and how that all worked, and the backroom, I guess, discussions that went on. It was pretty interesting from 2016, and I'm sure there have been similar discussions on the Democratic side in here as we get ready for 2020 in that regard. All right, 356-9397. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us talk@wdws.com. This is a Sprint Tuesday, so if you want to get on with me today on the show, you'll need to do it here before 10 o'clock. We'll have Jim Lewis helping to host the Paul Rudy show coming up, the On the Money show. I'll be back tomorrow with 2 hours. Tom Bruno will join me. Of course, the Bruno firm was involved early in the Christensen case at the very beginning on the defense side. And we'll talk to Tom about that and other things legal and or city related tomorrow in the first hour. Let's go to Eric. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Brian. A couple of significant articles in the News Gazette this morning. One regarding climate change. It says 74 medical and public health groups aligned on Monday to push for a series of consensus commitments to counter climate change, bluntly defined by the organization as a health emergency. Let's see here. United Nations, the 2015 United Nations agreement from which Trump has vowed to withdraw. And, well, that's in the newspaper if you want to read it. Also, on the same page, A5 of the Gazette, a woman is charged for turning over abusive husband's guns after being charged. The woman was grabbed the husband's guns and turned them into police because he had committed domestic violence on her. And she went to jail for taking his guns, and she spent 6 days in jail. And he, one day after one of their divorce hearings, rammed his car into her car, and he spent one day in jail. And the law says federal law prohibits people under a domestic violence restraining order from possessing guns, but it's up to local law enforcement to enforce it. So even after the domestic violence claim went down in court, they didn't even pick up his guns. And that's probably the National Rifle Association and on that to dilute the legitimate claim.
Yeah, I saw that story. It's out of Orlando, Florida, is what Eric's referring to. And they had a June 14th divorce hearing, and he was accused, Joseph Irby is his name, was spending one day in jail accused of ramming into her car. And then I guess she went to his apartment, they've obviously not living together, and took his guns, and now she's facing charges of theft.
Right.
So, interesting. Yeah.
Domestic violence was already a given on it, and they still didn't pick up his guns. But that's, as I say, that's the NRA again, buying whoever passes the law to put in a clause that it's up to the cops to pick the guns up.
All right. So, hey, thank you, Eric.
Thank you.
Yep, good to hear from you. Thank you. I appreciate the call. We go from Eric to Rick. Good morning, Rick.
Yes. Hi, Brian. On this Brent Christensen trial, now that he's been found guilty, I wonder if he has a Trump card in his pocket that he will tell everyone where the body is to avoid the death penalty. Probably someone, many people have already analyzed that and talked about it, maybe, calling in. But
yeah,
that thought has always been in the back of my head that he'll say, well, in order to avoid the death penalty, I'll tell you where she's at.
Yeah, well, I don't know what the strategy is, but that may be, because that's the one piece of the puzzle nobody seems to know. And obviously it's the one the family wants to know, because they'd like to, take her remains back home, I think, at some point.
Sure.
And they're in anguish over that. So I could be. I don't know. There must be some reason, either that or he's just being nasty. I don't know.
I know you're up against the news. I'll make this brief. But I had called in after I was in the front row of the very first day of the trial when they let, anyone in.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, the judge said only family members and lawyers and media were to be allowed in. But we were all, and this was at the federal courthouse in Urbana, and I'll just make this brief since I called it in, right after the time, whenever that was, a year ago or year and a half ago. Anyway, we were all crammed in there. I mean, every seat was filled, and they had the doors closed as to the courtroom, and people, there was a large group of people outside waiting, to get in if they could squeeze anyone else in. And I remember we were packed in there like sardines, and no one was hardly breathing. I mean, it was so quiet. Everyone, was so tense waiting for this thing to start. And it was so quiet, and there was a door to the left of the judge's bench, and I heard this sound of metal behind the door. It was the eeriest sound, and finally it dawned on me they had Brent Christensen behind that door, and they were taking off the chains.
Oh, wow.
To bring him in the court. And I mean, it's a sound that I'll remember forever. Because it was so eerie, and everyone was absolutely silent in the room. And then two marshals brought him in, and young people, a young blonde lady, maybe in her 20s, and a young man, and they brought him in and sat him down. But I'll just never forget that eerie scene. We're all packed in there, and no one was hardly breathing. It was so quiet, and then you hear the sound of chains behind the door. It was just really eerie.
Wow. Yeah, that'll stick with you for a while, I'm sure. Yeah,
that's for sure. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the phone call.
Okay.
Yep, good to hear from you. A quick break. Back with more of the news headlines coming up. Then I'm going to talk to Robin Kaler for a few minutes over at the University of Illinois, former DWS employee, but she's been very close to the Zhang family. Just kind of talk to her about the family a little bit, because, boy, have they been just through an awful experience. So we'll come back with more in a moment.
Hi, I'm Kara, part of the Transitions Hospice team in Central Illinois. We're here for you and your family to help make every day the best it can be. Each patient and their families receive individualized quality care and support they have come to expect, can rely on, and deserve.
And I'm Jessica. I am also part of the Transitions Hospice team. We are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You call, we come. We recognize each patient is unique, and the care we provide respects each person's goals and wishes with a focus on quality of life.
Transitions Hospice. It's about living.
Your front entry door is the grand entrance to your home. And to find that beautiful front entry door for your home, come to Bacon & Van Busker. Explore our many styles and features available from the top door manufacturers. Receive attention to detail and personal service from our experts. Nothing changes the look of your home more than a new front entry door. Visit our beautiful showrooms in Champaign and Springfield. Bacon & Van Busker. Glass, mirrors, windows, and doors. Since 1937.
I'm Doug Quick.
And I'm Brianna Collins. You don't have to stay up late to get your local news.
Get to bed early with Fox Champaign News at 9, bringing you the local news coverage you can trust and East Central Illinois' weather forecast you can rely on.
And did we mention you can get to bed early?
Whether it's breaking news or the latest forecast, you can count on Fox Illinois to bring you what you need without keeping you up late. That's tonight on Fox Champaign News at 9.
Hi, this is Natalie from Wild Birds and More. As always, one of our custom premium seed blends is on sale this month for 10% off. So come on in and get the best deal on the freshest seed in town. Wild Birds and More, 2141 South Neal in the Shops of Knollwood. Feed the birds, feed your soul.
Get caught up on the latest local news, sports, and weather on the DWS News Hour presented by ABC Heating and Air. Join us this afternoon at 4 here on News Talk 1400.
All right, 9:32, need to get to the news here, so hang on if you'd like, or call us back here in a little bit. We've got Robin Kaler coming up after the news for a few minutes about the Zhang family. Here's Michael Kaiser. He's been covering that story and more, and here he is with the headlines. All right, Penny, for your thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS, as we join you this morning on this Tuesday morning, just an hour for me today. 356-9397. Let's go back to the phones to Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Good, sir.
Good. In response to Eric about the gun and blaming the NRA for that woman getting arrested and held in jail for 6 days for taking her husband's gun, they weren't living together. She literally broke into an apartment.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned, is they've been, apparently they're not living in the same place.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with the NRA. Not at all. And if he had an order of protection against him and he's being charged with domestic violence, if anybody's to pick up the guns, it's the local law enforcement. Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with the NRA.
No.
And unfortunately, I understand the situation she's in, but she broke the law by breaking into his apartment and taking the guns. That breaks the law. If she was that concerned, she needed to make sure she had guns on her own so she can defend herself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, that's what's in the story. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks,
appreciate
Brian.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Yeah, obviously we're not together at the time. All right, 356-9397 is our phone number. You can check out that story in the News Gazette, among other things. We spoke to Steve Beckett a little earlier about the verdict yesterday in the Yingying Zhang case. Brent Christensen found guilty. We move on to the next phase. Want to talk a little more about the Zhang family. Robin Kaler, a friend who used to work here at WDWS, now, of course, an associate chancellor at the University of Illinois Public Affairs spokesperson. Robin, how you doing today?
I'm well. How are you, Brian?
Good. Well, thanks for coming on for a few minutes. And I know the university and you've been involved in this from the beginning for the last 2 years. I know this whole thing's been emotional, but I know yesterday for the family, I guess kind of a mixed feeling in a lot of respects, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's been a very, very long time, and the legal system moves a little more slowly in the U.S. than it does in China, and to have such horrific revelations shared, I know the family's still coming to terms with that. So it's been difficult, but I know it was very heartening to see that justice was served yesterday.
Tell me about the family a little bit. We see them in the paper and pictures and different places. You've gotten to know them over the 2 years, the mom, the dad. Just help us know them a little better.
Well, they're just a very normal family that was living a very normal, simple life and had, a horrible, horrible, senseless thing happen to them. But they have shown the most quiet dignity I've ever seen from human beings in my life. They've maintained, they've kept moving, they've been dogged in their pursuit to try to find their daughter, and they're committed to justice and committed to trying to be able to take her home.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know they've been away from home. When did they come back over? They've been living two different places for a while? Or?
Yeah, they got back late last month,
mm-hmm.
and we're in Champaign. They've obviously been spending the night in Peoria some with the trial, but
mm-hmm.
And that's been another lovely thing to see the community, really wrap its arms around the family, and the university has tried to be part of that, and now that the Chinese community both in Champaign and Peoria have been wonderful,
mm-hmm.
and so I know that has warmed their hearts, and they've really had people all around the world reach out to them, on a dark time. That really does mean a lot.
That has to be comforting for them, with just the lot of folks from China that attend the University of Illinois, the community here, as you said, wrapping their arms around them. But they're a long way from home. I mean, that's got to be comforting, I would think.
They're a very long way from home. And, of course, I just got back from China myself. And, to be in a country that's halfway around the world where you don't speak the language and you don't understand the customs, and then to have this on top of it is just really exhausting. And but again, they have just maintained such a quiet dignity, and they've been kind to everybody they've encountered, and they've been just very thankful to everyone who has shown them kindness as well. They're really exemplary people.
Robin Kaler
very
with us.
Very privileged to know them. Yeah.
Thank you, Robin. Robin Kaler has been with us for a few minutes here, just a couple minutes more. We were talking to Steve Beckett a little earlier. Yingying, just a remarkable student. She was going to do big things. I mean, that's the you know.
Yeah, she was. She was really, you know, the hope of her community. She was, you know, a very bright student and excelled at higher and higher levels in China, and you know, eventually did her graduate work at the most prestigious university in China, and had selected the University of Illinois because of our reputation, and wanted to come here and study. And so, you know, had been here just long enough to be a visiting scholar, but had not yet become a student here. And that's a real tragedy for us and for the world, because I think you're right. I think she would have used her knowledge to do really, really great things.
Mm-hmm. Talk about your involvement and the university's involvement, how soon you got involved. I know it's been 2 years now, but just talk about how that happened and how eye-opening has this been? What kind of experience has it been for you personally?
Yeah. So obviously our police department got involved from when mm-hmm. she was reported missing, but
right.
It wasn't until the family came to the country that I really got involved, and just was there with Interim Provost John Wilkin to greet them. And when you know, her mother didn't come immediately, she was too ill to even travel because you know, she was her heart broken, but her father and her aunt and her fiance all came, and when I met the aunt, we both just dissolved into tears and hugged for a very, very long time. And and even though we never spoke the same language, you know, we spent a lot of time together and just sitting quietly a lot of the time, or speaking through a translator. And she told me a lot about, you know, about what Ying Ying was like, and her hopes and dreams. And you know, I told her, and she has children, and I told her about my children, and you know, just two moms just trying to get through things. And then of course when Ying Ying's mom arrived, you know, she was distraught, as I would be. I mean, I you know, as a parent, you just think about, what would you do? How would you keep breathing when something like that happened? And then, you know, and then to have such gruesome, horrible details come out, just the concept of your child being gone and having possibly suffered is horrible enough, but then to hear exactly in just mind-numbing, excruciating mm-hmm. detail how it happened is just more than any parent should ever have to bear.
Well, before we let you go, Robin, I assume the family will stay until all this is done. I mean, we've still got to wait a few more weeks, I guess, right?
Yeah, that is their intention. Yeah, the judge yesterday said basically that he didn't want to start immediately on the sentencing phase, simply because of the 4th of July holiday, that he didn't want to start and then have a break, you know, that it would be, you know, much better to go straight through. So that's why he started the July 8th. But of course, that does mean now that the family's got, you know, a few more weeks of waiting. But they've gotten very used to waiting, and they're not going to be, you know, sidetracked that easily. They'll be ready to when the time comes, and you know, whomever chooses to testify will tell a very compelling story, I think, and will make sure that they do everything they can to ensure that justice is served.
Right. Well, Robin, thank you for sharing some of the personal side of all of this, and I know you've been very close to this, and we just appreciate you coming on for a few minutes. I know it's been a tough time for them and for you and the university family and as a whole, so thank you for doing that.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, the entire university family is heartbroken for them and is here to support them, and we really appreciate the coverage that your station has offered throughout this, because I think a lot of the information that comes out and the assurance that justice will be done is because of good news coverage. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate it.
Okay. All righty. Bye-bye, Brian.
Bye-bye. That's Robin Kaler, Associate Chancellor, the University of Illinois Public Affairs spokesperson. Of course, used to work here years ago at this radio station. So we thank Robin for coming on. I know that's not easy, and it's been just a tough situation. Tough doesn't begin to describe it. I mean, it's just been awful for the family. So we'll see who testifies in the death penalty phase, how that goes. We heard from Steve Beckett earlier what's expected to happen soon. Let's go to the phones here real quick. I think Raymond wants to talk about this. Hi, Raymond.
Hello. I'm a first-time caller. Two things I'd like to talk about, both brief and totally unrelated. And mm-hmm. the first one is about the Christensen trial. I saw the front of the News Gazette this morning, and they showed this poor family who's been through hell. is it really necessary to show them grieving like that? They're heartbroken, obviously, and the woman's hysterical. I didn't think it was very good.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a, you know, it tells the story, and it's a, you know, I guess it's a journalistic type decision. The photo was actually taken by, I think, a gentleman with the Peoria Star up in the Associated Press. But, you know, a lot of times in those cases, you're trying to capsulize the moment, I think. And but your opinion is maybe that was too personal.
Well, yeah. My guys think what these people have been through, and now you show them grieving. I just didn't. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I wanted to comment on briefly was the woman who ended up in jail for taking her ex-husband's guns. And then we have someone call in and say, well, the woman should get a gun herself. So just a typical response, solution to guns, more guns. I mean, why don't both sides of the family just get AKAs and shotguns and they can meet at the OK Corral and shoot it out? How about that?
That's... Unfortunately, that's how they used to do it sometimes in the Old West. But
but it's not the Old West anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah, you're right. Hey, Raymond, I appreciate your thoughts today. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Yep, good to hear from you. And let's take a break. We'll come back with more Penny for Your Thoughts, 9:50 here at DWS. Thanks to Steve Beckett. Thanks to Robin Kaler for being with us on the Yingying Zhang situation, the guilty verdict for Brent Christensen. We're back in a moment. Any for your thoughts, News Talk 1400, DWS, as we work our way through this Tuesday, a lot of it focused on the Yingying Zhang story and, of course, the Brent Christensen trial. They moved to the death penalty phase now coming up after the 4th of July. I believe it's July 8th is when all that happens. An email says, good morning, Brian. I look for a life sentence for this killer. I just wonder if the taxpayers will be paying for this animal to finish his Ph.D. in prison. It seems the convicts have more rights than the victim. He was a doctoral candidate, from what I understand and have read. And where was this man being kept in custody during the trial? I know he was in the courtroom in Peoria, but I think he was being, last report, according to our newsroom, was he was being held over in Livingston County. The Livingston County jail there. So I don't know. That's the last report, but assume that's, you know, that's, since it is fairly close by. When you think backwards, you come up with ideas like Eric. We were talking about the gun incident down in Florida. Obviously, Eric is right. The NRA doesn't want to do anything but make criminals. We've already had some feedback on that. And a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line says, I'm just now listening to your caller. I totally agree on the picture in the paper. I thought it was distasteful by the News Gazette in their home. In their time of grief, I'm sorry. I do disagree with him on his gun stance, of course. That is what a liberal thinks all the time. I wonder if the, another email says, I wonder if the Loomis Laboratory of Physics building, okay, I lost that one. I'll get back to that one. Let's go back to the phones here while I find it. It moved on me. Let's go to Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. I want to make a little bit of a statement here. As far as the Democrats and Republicans go, but I want the people to understand that I am a Christian and I make mistakes. I commit sins off and on all the time. I ask for forgiveness. And, you know, and what kind of example are these Democrats and Republicans keep bashing each other when off and on you have seen like the Clintons and them going into church. What do? Go to church on Sunday, then turn around and blast each other the rest of the week? I'm not perfect. I admit I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I try to improve each day. You know, this is a poor example for our younger people to see. These people bash each other all the time. Sometimes that's how these children grow up. This is an example through the parents. I think that I hope this will get out. I hope it gets out to Channel 3 or something else. If Penny Fury Thoughts can tell them what I just said. And I'm going to keep both these parties in prayer that they will come together and remember what their faith really is and what that means to them.
Okay.
I thank you and Jesus today for letting me talk.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Let's see here. I wonder if an emailer on talk@wdws.com says, I wonder if the Loomis Laboratory of Physics was ever searched in connection with the case. Even though a person may no longer have a key, it has been known for people to slip in behind someone with a key. Hi, Brian. A couple of unrelated items follow. First, there's been a tremendous number of contractor vehicles and activity at the old IGA across from Jarling's for weeks, if not months now. Can someone tell us what is happening there? I'll have to check on that. And second, with regard to the murder of the Chinese student, why has there not been more attention paid to finding her remains? In most cases, it seems considerable focus is placed on that as it relates to how the perpetrator will be treated at sentencing, for example. I suppose it could be. There are no remains at this point. The truth is so gruesome, the family's requested it not be made public. However, certain statements from the family seem to indicate them wanting their daughter back, i.e. her remains. It's my feeling that every possible effort should be made to compel the murderer to reveal the whereabouts of the body, assuming there is one. That's on talk@wdws.com. All right, we're at 9:58, less than 2 minutes to go. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Hi, Brian. Hey, I tried to call last week when the three mayors were on there. They were talking about the gas tax and what this is going to do to improve the infrastructure and stuff. I just want people to know, if you would read that gas tax bill, there's a lot of money in there that's going to go to bail out the Chicago Teachers Retirement Fund. I don't know. Apparently, the people who voted on that didn't even read it, but I've read it, and there's a lot of money going up there that's coming out of the gas tax.
Somebody mentioned that, and like I mentioned this earlier, Chapin Rose is going to come on at some point here. We get to the middle of July once all this stuff starts getting sorted out, and we're going to talk about some of that and see what he can tell us.
But I thought they had a lockbox feature built into that new gas tax thing several years ago where that money that went for motor fuel tax couldn't be used for anything else. But When he's on there, I'll call him and ask
him
about that.
Yeah, that'd be a good question for him. I don't know all the intricacies of legislative action, but I have heard or read what you've mentioned.
Yeah, so. You know, it's funny, these people calling about this gun deal down in Florida, the police complaining that the police wouldn't go and get her guns. You know, those are probably the same police who've been told to turn a blind eye to these illegal aliens and let them do whatever they want. Hmm. You know, a little hypocrisy going on there.
Don't know, sir, but thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you, and thank you for being quick. We're 9:59, about 10 seconds left. That is it for me today. We'll have the On the Money show coming in. Jim Lewis is going to help host that, I understand. So we'll have Jim in, and I'm back tomorrow for 2 hours. Tom Bruno will weigh in on all this as well and other things on WDWS. Champaign-Urbana, have a good Tuesday.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, welcome back. And, you know, in football, they say a quarterback sometimes has to call an audible. And that's what we're doing right now because Jim Lewis is here. He's going to walk me through this.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, the second and fourth Tuesday.
Second and fourth Tuesdays, yep.
We have On the Money. And there was a little bit of a communication mix-up. There's a lot of people on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Jim and I had understood was that even though Paul Rudy would not be here, that some of the folks from On the Money would be here.
Yeah, like Dr. Gertz
and others.
His sons would probably be here.
We always appreciate their expertise on the show. And well, it turns out none of them are coming.
That's not the case.
So Jim Lewis, of course, helps run our AM programming here, said, by the way, they're not here. They're not coming.
Well, it got to 9:57. I thought, well... They're normally here about a quarter till, so we'll just kind of hold out for a bit, and then 10 o'clock rolled around. And say, I don't think they're coming. So
anyway, this being live radio, we can't shut down for an hour.
Oh no, we can't just turn anything off. And I don't think people would just want us to go to just regular syndication. So we could do that, you know, but we're not gonna.
So I guess we're have more penny for your thoughts. So
yeah,
we'll just keep going.
Do another hour, Brian.
We've been talking about the Christensen case. which we've talked quite a bit about with Steve Beckett at the start of the first hour, and then Robin Kaler came on the personal side of this. And I know we'll just get your thoughts on the coverage of all of this, because Ben Zigerman's been up in Peoria, been doing great work on the paper side, on online. Tim Dittman and our crew and everybody else has been at the courthouse here in Urbana watching it on that. So it's been pretty extensive coverage of it. Not a big surprise what happened yesterday, but I guess there's still more left to discuss here in the weeks ahead.
Yeah, I was out of town last week, son and I on vacation, and you know, still, you know, scroll through Facebook just to kind of see what's going on. You know, not really. You know, getting into it too much because
are you working?
I'm gone. You know, just you know, regular scrolling through, and you know, I catch an update here and there just to see what's going on, because not only does it you know, this community, but I mean, statewide, nationwide, international. You know, it's just it's a big story. So
that's for sure. Well, thank you. Well, I guess I'll just keep going.
Yeah, just keep on going. Okay. I'm around if you need to bounce anything. So.
Okay,
that's what I do. I'm ready.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Mr. Barnhart.
All right. Thank you. We're on Penny for your thoughts then. So no on the money. You got me for another hour. So we're happy to sit in with you again. And they'll be back at their regular time here coming up in, I think, a couple of weeks into July. So some bonus Penny for your coverage here, of Penny for your thoughts coverage here on DWS. So we'll take an opening break here for hour number two. And whatever's on your mind, if you'd like to jump in more on the Christensen trial, you can certainly do that. A lot of baseball news, basketball news, University of Illinois getting ready for their trip. The men's team here pretty soon are going to be holding this, new system of inviting in players, replacing some of the Nike camps and all the different things that have gone on over the years. One of those is coming up. I know Brad Underwood's got a media availability today that you'll hear probably more about on Sports Talk coming up, and some of the sports shows. So, again, with an audible today, no on the money, more Penny for your thoughts. How's that on a Tuesday? 10:15, we'll come back, take your phone calls, emails, and texts. Any more leftover thoughts from the first hour, you can certainly share those. Any new things you want to bring up, you can do that. And we'll just do an open line up until 11. Back in a moment. Ten 16, yes, bonus Penny for your thoughts. A little bit of a error, I guess, or a mix-up in communication as to who was coming and who wasn't today. So I'm here up until 11 o'clock, Rush Limbaugh show after that. So I didn't really have anything scheduled for this, so we're up open line. We can always do that, of course. Tomorrow, Tom Bruno will join us in the first hour. We'll have 2 hours of programming tomorrow. On Thursday, by the way, we will preview the Ice Cream and Independence show, which is this Saturday night at the Virginia Theater, live radio broadcast. But, of course, we invite you to the Virginia Theater. They'll have some TCBY yogurt, hand out the American flags. They've got a great band performing. Linda Morehouse is going to direct that. I think it's a CU Civic Wind Band. We'll be involved. Nathan Gunn, one of the great performers in our country, will be there as well, here from the University of Illinois. So that'll be Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Hope you'll join us over there. Get your tickets at the Virginia Theater. Of course, we talked the first hour quite a bit, extended first hour on the coverage from the Yingying Zhang trial, Brent Christensen trial, the Yingying Zhang case, of course, which is we've been watching for a couple of years now. They got a guilty verdict yesterday. Move on to the death penalty phase coming up on July the 8th. Democrats getting ready to debate down in Miami. They call it the scrum. two different nights. What I think on NBC, MSNBC, and Telemundo will be where those debates will be seen. One debate, two nights. So that'll be happening coming up here in the next few days. And then, of course, the G20 summit overseas happening as well. All right, 356-9397 is our phone number. You can text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, and email us, talk@wdws.com. Let's go to the phones to Stan. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Yes, sir.
just tuned you in. I thought I'd help out a little bit. You can keep me on for most of this hour if you want, probably. But I got a couple of things to talk about. First, the Christensen case.
Mm-hmm.
This Brett Christensen case, to just piggyback on what your news people said, is a perfect example why the state of Illinois should not have the death penalty as an option. And the reason for that is because the state of Illinois is always boo-hooing about how we don't have enough money to pay for our services. But in a death penalty case, once it goes to the jury for the decision as to the death penalty, that becomes a statewide cost rather than a countywide cost. And if the state was serious about saving pennies wherever they could find them, they would get rid of the death penalty to save the transfer of those legal fees from county to the state. Legal fees for... Go ahead.
Obviously, isn't this a federal case, so that it really doesn't... Wouldn't that be irrelevant? I mean,
I don't think this is a federal case.
No, it is.
This is a death penalty. Okay.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, whenever it's, maybe it's being tried in federal court, I don't really know. And it doesn't really matter, because once a state has decided to invoke its death penalty option, the cost of the defense falls on the state. That was reported just now in your news broadcast, and that's been a true statement forever, as far as I know.
Okay.
And that's an extreme cost when you're fighting a death penalty case that may go on for 20 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was the detention facilities, torture chambers that the Trump administration has set up for the housing of these people seeking asylum.
You're talking about in El Paso, for instance? And
I'm talking about all along the border. Most of the people coming across the border right now are seeking asylum, and they're being treated as though they were gang members, sworn to allegiance to somebody else rather than the United States. But they're just fleeing horrific conditions. I've asked you before what kind of horrific conditions you would have in Champaign to make the decision to take your family and walk to El Paso, Texas, which is about the distance that these people are walking right now. And I don't think you had a good answer for that, because I thought it was the first time you thought about it.
So with all the folks, what's the long-term solution here? I mean,
we have signed treaties. We have had laws passed saying how people seeking asylum have to be treated. And the president and his boys in the Senate are not following those laws. They're not treating people the way they're supposed to be. You're not supposed to be able to keep people locked up like he has. And for him to sit there and lie to the American people, not that he doesn't do it every day 10 or 12 times a day, but he didn't inherit this problem from the Obama administration. When the Obama administration had the problem with unaccompanied, and the emphasis should be on unaccompanied minors in those detention facilities down in Texas, that was a different set of rules, because those were children that the federal government then had to try to find family members for in the states to turn those children over to. The Trump administration, on the other hand, wants to break up families and then not keep track of where they've sent them, and then not know where they are, and then have lost, literally lost, thousands of migrant children.
All right, sir. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Good to have you on with us. 10:23 here at DWS. Again, some bonus open line time here. We had to call an audible. So this is not on the money if you tuned in for that. I mean, I guess I can give you free financial advice. It wouldn't be worth much. But you're not going to get that from me, I guess. You should trust the experts on that. But we're just kicking things around here a little bit. So we've got an open line up until 11 o'clock. Rush Limbaugh show after Tom Bruno tomorrow. We'll have our flashback Friday, by the way, on the second hour, during the second hour on Friday to close out the week. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Brian. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good.
I'm glad I'm glad to be able to get in after Stan. He usually calls like 2 minutes before the top of the hour, and then nobody can rebut anything he says. On the trial, you're absolutely right. It was a federal trial.
Mm-hmm.
Next time he calls in, he may want to get his facts straight a little better. I'm not a big fan of the death penalty, but in this particular case, I think it may be warranted. The only thing I would say is, or offer up, is if they do put him on death row, there will be appeals, and those appeals are very expensive, typically well over $1 million every time. And then on to the torture chambers that our president is providing down there. I have a couple friends. One is in DEA and one is Border Patrol. Conditions down there were getting much better. The cots, the amenities and everything were getting much better until the last several months, where many thousands of more are coming across at a higher rate. Let's remember who puts these people at risk to start with. It's the people that are crossing the border illegally. It's very difficult for our government, no matter how hard they try, to try to predict how many people they're going to house. They can't just, you know, add buildings when they don't have them. They can't just add personnel when they don't have them. So it's the people who are crossing are putting themselves at risk. I think our government is doing probably almost as good as they possibly can to house some people that shouldn't even be here in the first place. And I quite frankly think that some of these people need to be turned away and sent back. We're trying to accommodate them. We should start sending them back like the law allows us to do, because we can no longer take care of them. And, well, anyway, I won't get too much further into it.
Yeah, no, the setup down there is not designed for what's happening. You know, I mean, they're overwhelmed. I mean, it's a mess. And, you know, that's what, again, I go back to the, you know, that's the one issue that the president got elected on the first time around, was concern for what was happening, you know, at the southern border. And, you know, he's tried different ways to try to fix it and has been blocked in some cases by legal issues or, you know, congressional delay or ineffectiveness or whatever it is. You know, they're still, and so, but the people on the ground have to deal, as you know, they have to deal with what's in front of them. And they're trying to do, you know, everything I've read, they're doing the best they can, but the whole setup is not designed for what's, for that many people, you know, and to have that kind of stuff going on.
Most of the people involved down there are humanitarians. They are compassionate, just because their job is border protection, et cetera. That doesn't mean they don't have a heart. And again, like you said, they're just overwhelmed. And to indicate that we don't want to give them diapers or we don't want to give them toothbrushes, or I see it on Facebook, but he's refusing these items. I'm like, come on. Anyway, anyway, thank you, Brian,
hey,
so much for
thank
your time.
You. Yeah, thank you, Jim. I appreciate the call. And 1028, excuse me, a little bonus, Penny, for your thoughts today. We were originally going to have On the Money. Turns out we're not. And so I'm with you here till 11. A little bonus coverage, as they say. We're back in a moment on Penny. And Michael Jackson passed away on this day 10 years ago today, believe it or not. 2009 was the day he passed away. Farrah Fawcett died 10 years ago on the same day. She was 62. Michael Jackson was 50. Yeah, Farrah Fawcett's passing got overlooked a little bit because it was the same day that Michael Jackson did. And happy birthday to a lot of well-known folks, among them Willis Reed. Hall of Fame NBA center and coach Willis Reed is 77. Carly Simon, 74. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is 65. And Jimmy Walker from Good Times. Dynamite, right? He is 72 today. Anyway, we're on Penny for Your Thoughts, 10:32, a little bonus show today. We, we'll get the money talk, on the money folks ready to go in a couple of weeks, but they were unable to be here today, so we're just filling in for them, I guess, up till 11 o'clock. Michael Kaiser has some news for us, more open line conversation. Talking about the border, I found an editorial on the border. And the back and forth on it, I think you'll find interesting. We'll do all that next here on Penny. All right, we're on a Tuesday. And again, normally in this hour, on the fourth Tuesday of the month, we would have On the Money with the Rudy folks. A little mix-up in communication as to who is going to be here and who might be here and who wouldn't be here. Turns out they are not here today. So we get a little bonus coverage here with Penny for Your Thoughts. Not planned, but we're just doing open line until 11 o'clock. So if you have some things you want to weigh in on, you can do that. All right, Stan called us earlier. Of course, he usually elicits some reaction. Hey, Brian, the fact that Stan was not aware this is a federal case illustrates how perfectly uninformed he is on every issue he comments on. Also, sorry, Stan, this is a federal case. The death penalty has been banned in Illinois in state courts for quite some time, so the state of Illinois did not put the death penalty on the table. It's illegal in this state. He was charged by the federal government. Stan didn't know it was a federal case when it's local and all over the news. Not a credible word from him, even when he's right. Typical liberal, another text says, of the day, award goes to Stan, calls to complain about something, and when asked for a solution, he has nothing. And also, it figures Stan, not knowing what we've known for almost 2 years, says, I don't really know, and it really doesn't matter. Finally, the truth. He calls in, spouts off every time whether he knows what he's talking about or not. Don't get confused by the facts, Stan. Jeesh, says Kent. And somebody asked about the IGA building, the old Kirby IGA there. It used to be a Jerry's IGA, wasn't it, and then a Kirby IGA. Somebody off-air called, and I have no confirmation of this, but somebody off-air said they had heard that it was going to be a blood bank. That I don't know for sure, but if you've heard anything differently than that, maybe you've known. You can pass it along to us. And also a question about Yingying Zhang, the young woman, of course, the U of I scholar who was the victim in all of the Brent Christensen case and stories we've been covering. What was she studying? Well, she arrived in Urbana in April of 2017 to study photosynthesis in corn and soybeans as a visiting scholar at the University of Illinois with the hopes of eventually receiving her doctorate. She went to a very prestigious university in China, then did her master's degree in the so-called number one university, Peking University in China, and then picked the University of Illinois in hopes of receiving her doctorate, but was studying photosynthesis in corn and soybeans as a visiting scholar. So that's sort of the history there behind why she was at the University of Illinois in the first place. And talking about the border and the camps where the migrants, where they're trying to process everybody through all of this, and Stan had mentioned this, and of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stirred the pot a little bit. She compared the detention centers housing illegal immigrants as concentration camps. Of course, this is an article, or actually not an article. It's not a news article, but it's an editorial by someone with the New York Post. Says, drawing a revolting false parallel between the Holocaust and an imperfect democracy's efforts to deal with tens of thousands of illegal immigrants crossing our southern border. When called out, she doubled and tripled down, yet she was never pushed to explain what she would do with the influx of people coming from Central America. responding to Ocasio-Cortez's comments, Senator Bernie Sanders said while he wouldn't use the same term she did, he said we need in this country comprehensive immigration reform. We need to deal with the 1.8 million young people in the DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, to get them legal status. We need to move forward towards citizenship, a path towards citizenship, said Sanders. And this columnist says he didn't answer the obvious follow-up questions, a path towards citizenship for whom? For all the immigrants here illegally? For all immigrants who will come here illegally in the future? How is that different from the open borders he says he adamantly opposes? Many of the candidates push that line about comprehensive reform, but they don't explain what it actually means. Last week, the New York Times asked all the Democratic candidates for president whether they considered illegal immigration to be a major problem. Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, Kristen Gillibrand, and Kamala Harris used the exact same comprehensive immigration reform watchword, but they mostly spent the rest of their time bashing the president's inhumane and cruel border policies, in their words. And this writer says they want the emotional validation of being the good guys without having to actually lay out their positions on what to do about tens of thousands of people entering the homeland illegally. And they're unwilling, this writer says, to articulate either an open borders position or some sort of restrictionism. They can hit Trump on his callousness and congratulate themselves on caring more, but that's where their thinking on immigration stops. This writer says, by the way, President Obama deported more people than any other president. Last year, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement deported more than 256,000 people. That's a 13% increase from the previous year. The agency said the 2018 total was the highest number of deportations since 2014. But the writer says, get this, the Trump-era high is still lower than the number of deportations during Obama's first term in 2012, for example. The Obama administration deported more than 409,000 people. Talking about they talked about the ICE arrests that were going to happen this weekend and then put off for a couple of weeks. And this writer says what the Obama administration knew and what any of the Democratic candidates will find out if they make it to the White House is that we simply can't admit every person who wants to come to America. Democrats can continue to do this strange dance around their actual opinions. They can fill the airwaves with lofty words about how deeply they care, but it's all talk until they outline their actual policies on illegal immigration. And finally, the writer says, and you can check it out for yourself, I don't want to read it all, but it says, yes, we should push for a more humane approach, better conditions, and a faster processing time at these detention centers, but unless the Democrats are willing to come out and say they believe America should open its borders to everyone, the camps are likely to remain open under the next Democratic president. So anyway, that's some thoughts on, you know, what to do. Okay, we can complain about the camps and we can say this and that, but what's the solution? Is there one? Frank, good morning. How are you, Frank?
Good, Brian. Just a thought that if it were just decent people trying to get in through the border, it would be one thing, but you've got these coyotes hurting these people in there, and you don't know who's in there, criminals, human traffickers, whatnot. I mean, you really got to clamp down because they're trying to shove through all these unwanted and undesirable people.
Oh, sure. If you're in their situation, you're a drug runner or a smuggler or whatever, you take advantage of the chaos.
And they take big money from these
people. And you make money, sure.
Yeah.
And that's the other sad part of all this and bad part
of
it.
That's the part people don't want to talk about.
Right.
I mean, you can have compassion. I have compassion for people who are trying to get away from harsh conditions, but some newscasts I saw indicated that the people that are coming up are not being harassed politically or intimidated, but want jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, they come to the country for jobs, but how many jobs do we have, and what about our people here who need jobs?
Well, just think, if you're in one of those countries, Guatemala or whatever, and you hear by word of mouth or elsewhere that, hey, if you can get to the border, chances are you're going to get to stay, and you don't have to go through all the, you know, the process of what takes years to do or whatever, and somebody can get you there, you're going to do it.
And you get freebies.
If you want to, yeah. I mean, and there may be some benefits, too. So once that word is out, then what's going to – I mean, somebody's got to do something to stop it somewhere, whether it's Mexico at their border, which is being attempted, or, you know, how do you get past the overwhelming, you know, humanitarian situation you're facing at our border? I mean,
a lot of business people didn't like it, but I think what Trump did with the tariffs is good. I mean, if you want to, you know, you can close that border down south. Mexico can, and near Central America, and keep them from getting in here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can tell, I mean, I always read, you know, people can say a lot of things, but if their actions tell me more, and as soon as the president said, hey, I'm going to slap this tariff and it's coming Monday, you saw how quickly somebody ran to Washington and said, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that. You know, we'll talk, let's talk. And, you know, sometimes you have to do that.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Frank. I appreciate it. Yeah, I always read more of the actions. People can talk all they want. They can talk a good game, or they can talk, but your actions will usually tell you, you know, what's going on. And sometimes when you see that, you know, oh, okay, that's what's happening. All right, we're at 10:49, another break. We're at Penny for Your Thoughts, filling it up until 11 o'clock here with an open line. And then back tomorrow, Tom Bruno, whose firm, of course, was involved early. Evan Bruno, you may have heard his comments early on in the Christensen case before it was going to become a death penalty case and was going to involve a lot more payment. They weren't going to be able to pay them to do it, and they went eventually public defender. But the Brunos were involved in that early. We'll talk to Tom about all of that tomorrow and whatever else is on his mind in the 9 o'clock hour. 10:49 here at DWS, back after this. Brent Underwood with a media availability today, they tell us. I'm sure there'll be some things, kind of summer update on who's around and the upcoming trip to Italy they're doing and everything else involved in that. So that'll be interesting on Sports Talk, 356-9397. Again, we appreciate you being with us. Had a little extra time today. Thought I was done after 1 hour, but we're here for the second hour. And we'll have the On the Money folks in a couple of weeks back in their regular spot on a Tuesday. U.S. beat Spain in the Women's World Cup quarterfinals, 2-1. They're in the round of eight now, the quarterfinals. That was in the round of 16. Both the U.S. goals on penalty kicks. The U.S. will play France in a quarterfinal match on Friday. And the Greek Freak from Milwaukee, the winner of the MVP award last night for the NBA, averaged 27 points a game. 12.5 rebounds. And the Lifetime Achievement Award for the NBA went to Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Yeah, I could see that. That would work. Let's see what else is happening. I was checking some other local news. Champaign City Council dealing with some housing issues. That's a local story of note. You want to keep an eye on our coverage on that. Here on Penny for Your Thoughts tomorrow and elsewhere in the through News Gazette media. The Urbana City Council keeping the ball rolling on the latest effort to restore the downtown Landmark Hotel. Council last night giving an initial okay to an agreement with the developer, Sam Spiritos of Marcos Affiliates, LLC, to transform the shuttered hotel into a Hilton Tapestry. City would pledge $5.5 million, would cover some of that through a new boutique hotel tax for visitors. City staff will continue to iron out the details with the developer, leading to a final vote. Last night, Alderman Dennis Roberts said he and others are concerned the old woodwork, furniture, and other historic details from the Landmark Hotel may be lost in the renovation. Spiritos responded by saying that since the project is using historic renovation tax credits, the firm is restricted in what it can do. And supporters of a push to modify Champaign City Code when it comes to felons and housing, hope for some headway tonight. After months of talk, City Council will have a formal discussion in Champaign on the issue. Could direct staff what to do next. We'll talk with Tom Bruno about some of this tomorrow. City Code right now says landlords can deny housing to people with certain convictions like drug sales for up to 5 years after a person's released from prison. Some landlords want that flexibility to keep possibly more bad activities out. Others say the language is harmful for people looking to re-enter society. So you can check that out with all the coverage through News Gazette Media there and on our radio stations here. Summer means pools, picnics, and relaxations. Also the perfect time for a mid-year financial checkup. If you've fallen behind on your goals, Busey can help get you back on track. Rethink big goals. The financial assessments in the Resource Center, Busey.com. Great tools to see if you're on track for saving for retirement, college, and major purchases. If you've been sticking to your budget, well, review and ensure you're not overextending yourself. Money management puts insight at your fingertips and your financial goals within reach. Access it with Busey eBank. Plan to pay off debt as swiftly as your cash flow allows. Review card statements, credit card statements. There's no time like the present to ensure your estate planning wishes are documented. A message to my loved ones is important. You can do that. Available on Busey.com. Make sure the family knows what your thoughts are. And get creative with new and unique passwords. Visit the Information Security Center, Busey.com. Whatever your financial goal, Busey can help. From retirement planning to funding your child's college education, from buying your first home to expanding your business, from creating an investment to setting up a 401k for your employees. Enjoy your summer free from financial worries. To work towards achieving your financial goals today, visit Busey.com or stop by one of their many convenient locations. Busey, one of our sponsors here on A Penny for Your Thoughts. We're at 10:56 here at News Talk 1400 DWS. Thank you again to Steve Beckett, who was with us in the first hour today, just after the 9 o'clock news. And appreciate his insight on the verdict in the Brent Christensen case. And then Robin Kaler over at the University of Illinois also visited with us on her personal relationships with the family members, the father, the mother, the other family members that are here and just going through such anguish. We appreciate her perspective on the show as well. And we got an extra hour of Penny for Your Thoughts here with the open line. I mentioned Tom Bruno tomorrow in the first hour. We'll have an open line in the second hour tomorrow. Thursday, we will start with an open line. Then at 9:40 on Thursday, Secretary of State Jesse White with us on Thursday. And then Ice Cream and Independence preview in the 10 a.m. hour on Thursday. Linda Morehouse will join us. Nathan Gunn was scheduled to join us. At least we think so. We hope so. Both part of the show, the CU Civic Wind Band. Performing on Saturday night. Hope you'll join us at the Virginia Theater for that. Open line at 9 a.m. on Friday and 10 o'clock. Our last hour, the last Friday of the month, it'll be a flashback Friday. So that's what's on the horizon. We'll have a little more programming for you, of course, during the week of July 4th. We'll be into July next week. And then we'll take some time off as well in July. And we'll have some other folks sit in for us, Scott Beatty and others, along the way in July. And then before you know it, it'll be football. Football camp in early August. They'll be making the move over to the big performance center, Players Performance Center, Smith Center, over there adjacent to the football stadium. So that'll be fun to watch as they make that move into there and get ready to start the football season, which isn't all that far away, believe it or not. Big Ten Media Day is coming up, too, in July. We'll have some coverage from there and looking forward to going up to Chicago at some point in the middle of July. Well, that is going to wrap it up here for me today. Our thanks to our producer, Adam Austin, for being flexible today and working on the fly as we had the bonus hour here of Penny for Your Thoughts. We've got the Rush Limbaugh Show coming up. Hope you enjoyed the Little League coverage last night. Had a couple of games on, and they got the third place and championship games coming up this week as well, so we'll be covering that for you. And then eventually, I think we're going to run out of sports until football. Been a fun year in that regard with all the different sports coverage, games and so forth here on WDWS. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to you for being with us. We never take you for granted. Thank you for being with us. Honored to sit in the chair again here today and back tomorrow. Tom Bruno at 9 o'clock. A little more on the Christensen case and other issues, the city council and so forth. Talk to you then on WDWS Champaign-Urbana again. Have a great day. News is next at 11.